a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning and welcome to the Senate Local Government Committee. I appreciate the committee's patience and those of you waiting for this committee to start this morning. The Commerce Committee has a lot of bills they're trying to get through before crossover day, so I appreciate the patience and diligence of everybody. Just a reminder for those of you in the audience, please turn off your cell phones, and should you wish to testify, you have to sign in at the wooden podium up there. So other than that, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Here.
Unhoff?
Here.
Lederman?
Here.
Nelson? Teason?
Here.
Holine?
Here.
Schleicherway?
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The Chair will now entertain a motion of approval from our minutes from the previous meeting.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Senator Holine, second by Senator Teason. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes approved. Okay, just to make sure we're all on the same page here, committee members, we're going to drop below the line first, and the first priority of the hearing today is to get 75 addressed, Senate Bill 75. Then we will do 1088 second, should we have time. House Bill 1088 will be second. And then from there, we'd go 1076, 1115, 1173, but due to time constraints, we will likely not get that far. So we are going to resume with Senate Bill 75. This is an act to revise the determination of fees that may be charged for certain public records. Welcome, Senator Krause.
Thank you, Senator Schleicherway. I'm Senator Elizabeth Krause from District 33, Rapid City. I have another amendment now. We've been working with a number of parties and trying to make this agreeable for everyone, and the page is passing them out now. Basically, all this amendment does is add to the current statutes the last two sentences that are underlined in the amendment. No fee may be charged for any minutes that were recorded in the last 3 years or for any accounting record in its original format. Any confidential information in the accounting record related to the payroll shall be redacted or password protected. So I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Krause. Because of the Hog House Amendment, we will now open it up again for proponent testimony for Senate Bill 75. Keep in mind, we will formally adopt the amendment when during the action and discussion period of the committee hearing. So,
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. David Bordewijk, Registered Lobby, South Dakota Newspaper Association. We just rise in support of the Hog House Amendment here. That's moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bordewijk. Are there any further proponents for Senate Bill 75? Welcome, Senator Novstrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. In a prior life for 18 years, I ran a computer company and did consulting on accounting software. And in that position, I got to touch many different brand names of software. And that's what this bill does is it does two things. It tries to be reasonable in that it an open government, it says if a citizen or person calls and says, send me the minutes. That's a fairly easy thing, and we wanted to limit it, so we limited it to the last 3 years, so possibly 36 emails could, or 36 attachments would have to be attached. So that's pretty straightforward. The other part of the bill says we want you to send us the original data file in the accounting system. And the reason that's important is because that allows the person who is trying to understand what the government is doing with their money can do searches and sorts and reports, and it's a very powerful tool if you've sent it to them in the original data file format. The biggest concern is confidentiality that may be in the accounting system. As I thought through that issue, the two issues that the only issue that comes up in my mind is payroll. Within the payroll module, there is a home address, which I believe we should respect, and there is also Social Security numbers within the payroll, within a, most within all payroll modules. So we give the government agency two options. One is to redact the information, and that's an easy thing to do if you have three employees. To go in and delete three addresses and three Social Security numbers would not take long. If you happen to have 900 employees, that is an overwhelming task, and the best way to solve that problem is to password protect the payroll module. So you can send out the complete data. It will be password protected, and then that way nobody can get to the confidential information that resides in the payroll module only. And of every accounting software program I've ever seen, there is that option to password protect a subset of the main program. When you buy software, it usually comes in different sections, and there's a general ledger, accounts receivable, accounts payable, payroll, possibly a job costing module, and you can individually turn on or turn off through password protection those individual things. And it's a common thing because business needs that, because in most businesses there's a need not to let everybody that works on the accounting system into the payroll system. So it's a workable solution, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Nostrup. Are there any further proponents for Senate Bill 75?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm not quite sure where this is supposed to slide in, but first of all, I'd like to thank the sponsor of the bill. We've been working from the get-go with her trying to fix Senate Bill 75 as best as we can. That being said, at this point in time, I have received the amendment. I have shipped it to my folks, but I'm still waiting to hear where our position will be. So I'm not sure if we're on the proponent side or inevitably being on the opponents, but I just would like to make the note and again thank the sponsor for her patience and the committees as well. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Are there any further proponents who wish to testify this morning on Senate Bill 75? Seeing no further proponents, the chair will now open it up to opponent testimony for Senate Bill 75. Are there any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we will now move on, committee members, to questions. Any committee members have any questions? Seeing no questions, we'll now move on to committee discussion and or action. And I'll just remind the committee, we do have an amendment in front of us. Senator Holeen.
I'd like to move Amendment 75FB.
We have a motion by Senator Holeen, second by Senator Nelson, to amend Senate Bill 75 with 75FB. Any discussion on your motion, Senator? This will be a voice vote, committee members. All in favor of the motion to amend, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Senate Bill 75 is amended. Any further discussion and action from members of the committee? Senator Teason.
Have that look in my eye? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I guess I'm wondering what direction the chair is going with this. I'm reluctant to act without having a chance to hear from the practitioners. I'm not sure I know too much about record keeping in government offices, and I doubt that many of us up here do. And so I want to make sure we've got this thing in the right direction. And I don't know if it does any good for us to start the train headed down the tracks if we're not convinced of that. So, well, whatever your direction or ideas are, I'll wait to hear.
Thank you for your thoughts, Senator Teason. From my conversations, I know that Senator Nostrup and Senator Krause have really put a lot of work into this. It would be my preference to move this out of the committee today and take it to the floor, and if there's potential amendments on the floor, address it then. But that's my preference based on the conversations I've had.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Nelson.
And I tend to agree with that. I think that, and I know because I visited with Senator Krause especially, that they've worked hard to try to get this to something that might be workable. Again, it has a chance for another death on this side yet to before Tuesday, so I would move due pass.
Second.
We have a motion by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Lederman, on due pass, Senate Bill 75 as amended. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
I'm going to vote no.
Unhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
No.
Pauline?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Five ayes, two nays.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members-elect present, Senate Bill 75 passes as amended and will now go to the Senate floor. Okay, we will now, we're going to go with House Bill 1088 first. We've got Representative Street here, the prime sponsor. This is an act to revise certain requirements for charging and collecting certain fees for confining certain people in the county jail. Welcome, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. What we have with House Bill 1088 is a situation where when a prisoner is transferred from one county jail to another and the money to pay for that housing comes to that county, it is directed to a building fund. On line 7, we're changing shall to may. The counties are not complying with this rule right now, at least not enough, and it solves that problem. They need to, or they want us to, allow them to put it in a different fund. That's really all this bill does. And I guess I would leave it at that. It's something they're doing. When they get audited, they get a check mark because they're not complying. They need to be put in compliance. If we can put them in compliance, it would solve a little problem for them. And I'd appreciate your favorable consideration. This is a very simple bill. And thank you all.
Thank you, Representative Street.
I will stand by for questions.
Are there any further proponents on House Bill 1088?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Lauren Pankratz. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of County Commissioners, and we appreciate the fact that Representative Street had agreed to be a sponsor for us in bringing this forward. I think he's explained it to you. It really does just simply create a problem with legislative audit because it says shall, and this makes it permissive and will allow them then to do what they're currently doing legally. So we appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pankratz. Are there any further proponents on House Bill 1088? Seeing no further proponents, we will now move on to opponent testimony on House Bill 1088. Are there any opponents? Seeing no opponents, the chair now moves on to questions of committee members. Senator Teason.
Wait for action.
Okay. I'm so used to... Okay, Senator Bradford.
I have a question of Representative Street. I happen to have a couple of counties in my district that send their prisoners to a jail in another county, and some have told me that they seem to be paying more than what they would charge themselves. So I wonder, is this going to this wouldn't change the way they charge at all? They could still charge.
Mr. Chair, it would not, sir. I think the change on line 7 is the only substantive change from shall to may. Thank you.
Are there any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. if you're changing that it becomes a may, what's happening right now with that money that comes in? How is it being utilized?
Does Lauren want that? He might be able to answer that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hunoff, I think there are two issues with it. The statute requires them to put, and understand, it's not the total amount. I mean, let's say it's $50 that the receiving county is paid for a prisoner. If the money's going to go into that jail fund, it would be just a percentage of that, maybe $5. The statute says that they have to do that. Well, most of them are not doing that, and in part because the sending county doesn't have any use for that fund because they don't have a jail anymore. The other part of it is that those funds are being used for other things where the county commissioners and those folks making determinations about where the money is best spent would go.
Follow-up, Senator.
Okay. So if in the bill it said it was for capital improvements on the jail or the building, a new jail. So Yankton County gets, this is hypothetical, prisoners from Bonham County. So that money then would come to Yankton County. Then whatever you said, that percentage goes in the building fund, and the other can go to whatever the county decides that they want to do with that money. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that could be the case. Typically, those funds will remain, they'll go into the sheriff's budget because they're the ones that are in Yankton County, as an example. They would receive those funds and use them for the jail operation, their meals, utilities, and all that other sort of stuff. If there were the possibility of other revenues, let's say that $5 that would be compelled to go into that fund, then that piece could be used for other purposes.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had one of my questions answered by my good colleague here, Senator Teason, who has a lot of experience in this, I would imagine. Not being in jail, but sending people to jail.
They helping people get there.
Yes. In his testimony, Representative Street had referenced that the counties would like to put it into a different fund if possible. Could you give me an idea of what some of these funds or where this money would be allocated going forward if we allow this?
Mr. Chairman, understanding, of course, that you're beginning to tax my knowledge and experience with county funding mechanisms, that there could be a variety of sources. It could be highway funding. It could be welfare. I mean, what the other sources of other funds that might use or need revenues, they could divert some of that money to a different fund. But primarily, it's going to stay with that jail budget. But in the event they needed to be able to use it for some other need, then they could do so.
Senator Bradford.
Thank you. What really bothers me is because these two counties are really having a tough time paying this bill. And on line 8, do you happen to have the bill?
Yes, sir.
On line 8, it seems it's added a sum fixed by the county in addition to the charges allowed by law. In other words, they can determine whatever they want. I mean, is that kind of the way I interpret the bill, is that this is going to add a sum? Is that true or no?
Mr. Chairman, again, I think Representative Street indicated that we're not changing that part of the process. The receiving county still has the ability to make that determination as to what that cost needs to be for them as the receiving county for their jail. And the sending county has to agree to that charge. Now, I think that's a different discussion And I understand your concerns, but I think it's a different discussion than what than the problem that we're trying to solve with this current legislation.
Any further questions from members of the committee? Seeing no further questions, the chair will now open it up for committee discussion and or action. Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move do pass on House Bill 1088.
We have a do pass motion on House Bill 1088 by Senator Teason, second by Senator Lederman. Any comments on your motion?
Just briefly, it does seem a bit illogical for me to require this be placed in a jail building fund. I think county needs discretion to spend that income as they see fit. And secondly, since it appears that county commissioners around the state are currently violating this law, I think we should change it so they don't have to be incarcerated in their own jail.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion on the do pass motion for House Bill 1088? Okay, we have a do pass motion. Committee members, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Unhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Holleen?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
There were 7 ayes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members elect present, House Bill 1088 passes and will now move to the Senate floor. We have a consent motion by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Nelson. This will be a voice vote. Committee members, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay.
No.
Okay. House Bill 1088 will now move to the Senate floor. Yep. Okay. We will now take on House Bill 1076. This is an act to retain certain members of municipal governing bodies in office following the redistricting of municipal wards. Welcome, Representative Dryden.
Thank you, and good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. 1076 is an attempt to correct a situation that arose in Rapid City and could potentially arise in other cities in future redistricting. And what happened in Rapid was when they got done with their redistricting for their new wards, a sitting city council member no longer lived in his ward. And that was their proposed district or ward boundaries. When they realized that they had an incumbent that didn't live in the district, in the ward that he was elected from, of course, then they got attorneys involved and got differences of opinions and decided that he could not continue. So they changed their proposed boundaries, shift him a little bit to put him in the district that he was elected from, and are asking for this legislation so they that permits the incumbent to finish their term. He had 1 year left on his term. Just for background information, county commissioners are allowed to complete their term that they were elected to, and school board members also are allowed to complete the term that they were elected to if a redistricting or a reboundary moves them out of their district. So this is would make it consistent with the other two units of government. And with that, I'll stand by for questions. Appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Dryden. Are there any further proponents on House Bill 1076?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. This truly is just clarifying legislation. We have approximately maybe 150 towns that are under the aldermanic form, which means they're divided into wards, so that's who this would apply to. The vast majority of those, are not changing population enough that it probably even matters. But for those that are changing population, they need to redistrict and make sure that their wards are in fair numbers. And when they do that, we're just trying to make sure that the incumbent gets to serve out the remainder of his term before he starts to run or he or she starts to run from their new ward. Why we don't have the curing statute, I've been calling it, that the counties and the schools have, I do not know, but this would put that in place. This is the advice that would always have been given out of our office. It's the advice that would have always been given out of the Secretary of State's office, and so this simply removes the question and clarifies the situation. We'd urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1076? Seeing no further proponents, the chair will now move on to opponent testimony for House Bill 1076. Are there any opponents? The chair will now move on to questions of committee members. Seeing no questions of committee members, the chair will now move on to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair, I'll move do pass.
Second.
We have a do pass motion on House Bill 1076 by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any comments on your motion?
Seems like pretty straightforward legislation, so.
Any further discussion? Okay, committee members, the motion before us is do pass on House Bill 1076. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Schleckway?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members-elect, House Bill 1076 passes. Senator Holeen?
I'll move consent.
Second. We have a consent motion by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Teason. This is a voice vote, committee members. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. House Bill 1076 passes and will be placed on the consent calendar. Do we have Representative Boomgarden here? Can we get a page, track him down? Get him. I think 11:15 is a... The next bill, committee members, we will take on is House Bill 1115. This is an act to exempt certain contracts from the competitive bidding requirements for water user districts. Welcome, Representative Boomgarden.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Well, it's a pleasure to be before your committee and to be bringing you House Bill 1115. Right now, what's going on is the water user districts are finding themselves up against a wall a lot of times when they're having to deal with these procurement procedures. Right now, the limits are around $50,000, of which once you hit that mark on a project, you then have to go through a process of bidding out the project, getting state engineers to come in, and a whole lot of other types of delays, such as advertising, waiting for bids to come in, and such. And because with costs going up and such, these $50,000 marks are being hit a lot more frequently and at a easier threshold. So the water user districts, just a little history on them, they are not a taxing authority. They get all their revenue through fees that they get from the hookups and the people that use the potable water. So they are asking the committee here and their indulgences to be permitted to be able to forego the procurement procedure when a project goes over $50,000 that does not involve any state or federal dollars. So as long as it's being utilized with their fees, they would like that freedom to be able to go ahead and get these procedures or these projects done as soon as they can without the delay and the extra cost. The example that was used in the other committee was that TM Rural Water had a project that was a 1.5-mile length 4-inch PVC pipe, ended up cost them $49,000. They were underneath that threshold, but if that project would have had to go 200 feet more, then that would have put them into that procurement procedure, and that alone would have brought it up to $68,000, they figured, by the time the engineers and everybody else came in to put their 2 cents in. So that's basically what they're asking, for that exception for them only, and for when there's no federal or state dollars being involved in the project. And I'm not sure if there's any other people coming to testify, but I'll stand by.
Thank you, Representative Boomgarden. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1115?
Thank you and good morning. Margo Northrup on behalf of the South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems and specifically on behalf of our member water user districts. Just as a little bit of a background, there's about six larger water user districts in the state and maybe a couple of smaller ones that might not be part of our association. But they are quasi-governmental. They're political subdivisions of the state, but they do not have any taxing authority. They do not have any special assessment authority, and so that the revenue that they get comes from sale of water to their users. As Representative Boomgarten indicated, this is a bill brought on behalf of the water user districts to try to address some of the concerns that they've been having with the procurement statutes. And just generally, the water user districts have their own statute or statutory code. And the way that they look at it is if there's not something that's specific into the water user district code, they look at the default provisions in the municipality code. And there are specific statutes in reference to procurement for water user districts, and there is a statute currently on the books that allows them exemptions from the procurement statutes, and so they're trying to add an additional exemption when it's not taxpayer money at issue. You know, this is a local control type of issue. The board of directors would be making those decisions. They're elected by, they don't have to be a water user district or member, but they have to be in the area served. They would be on the local board of directors that would make those decisions. I think Representative Boomgarten gave a good example of what happens, and I just want to point out that these aren't going to be for the large projects. I mean, if it is a large project, it is going to have state and federal funding involved, and then they would have to go through the procurement process or follow whatever rules that state and federal government had. So it's specifically to projects where they're self-funded dollars. It's not money that's taxpayer money. And I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Northrup. Are there any further proponents on House Bill 1115? Seeing no further proponents, the chair will now move on to opponent testimony for House Bill 1115. Seeing no opponents, the chair will now open it up for questions of committee members on House Bill 1115. Mr. Chair. Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. I have a question for Ms. Northrup. Just a clarification, the sponsor of the bill talked about a $50,000. I don't see that in this bill. I'm not connecting the dots, please.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for the question. As I said, when there isn't a specific section in water user districts, they go back to the municipality code. And the municipality code has a general section that if it's a project under $50,000, it would have to go through the formal bid process, which would include formal plans, getting an engineer involved. In the example that we had, there was a project that was right at $49,000. It would be an additional some thousand dollars to go through that process. And so it refers back to the municipal code, and specifically it's SDCL 5-18A.
Follow-up, Senator.
So hypothetically, with that and what we're doing here, there could be a project, and I don't know, but self-funded for over $100,000 that you wouldn't have to do bidding if we allow this, if it came. I guess my correction is when you say it's not taxpayer dollars, it is in the sense the fees you're paying are citizens' dollars towards this project. So that's taxpayer dollars in my mind that they're paying the fees for the water hookups. So my question is, so you're saying by this they could have a $100,000 project that wouldn't have to be bid out because it was only the fees that were supporting, no grants or state or federal funding. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Teason.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Can you confirm for me that these water districts have and are required to have elected board of directors?
Yes, absolutely. That's required in their statute. And as I stated, the members of the board of directors are actually people in the water user district. You don't necessarily have to be a member that uses the water, but you have to be in the district.
Thank you.
Any further questions from committee members? Seeing no further questions, the chair will now move on to committee discussion and action. Senator Holine.
I'll move to pass.
We have a due pass motion on House Bill 1115 by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Lederman. Any comments on your motion?
Well, my good senator friend, Senator Bradford, is making fun of me for making a due pass motion when three of my fellow committee members are on this bill, so I think I'll just go along with the flow.
Any further discussion, committee members, on the due pass motion? All right, the motion before us is due pass on House Bill 1115. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Unhoff?
No.
Lederman?
Aye.
Nelson? Teason?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Five ayes, one nay, and one excused.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members-elect, House Bill 1115 passes and will now go to the Senate floor. Well, I appreciate the work of the committee this morning. We're going to defer the remaining House bill on our agenda. We have one more Senate bill that was referred to us, so we will pick that up on Monday. Just an announcement for those of you in the audience and committee members, we will not have local government committee this Friday. No local government committee this Friday. So that's twice in a row Senator Holeen can sleep in. So, but with that said, the chair will now entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Holeen, second by Lederman. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Meeting adjourned.